It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new, so step into the spotlight. Enjoy the excitement and play today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Today on The Grave Talks, a conversation about paranormal investigations in the South with the Southern Ghost Girls. The Southern Ghost Girls Tours and Paranormal Investigations is a tour and paranormal investigation team led by founder Leslie Ann Hyde. The team investigates homes, historical landmarks, museums, and other places in the southern U.S. that are known to have a history of unexplained happenings and paranormal phenomena. I'm Carol Hughes. On this episode of The Grave Talks, it's part two of our conversation with the Southern Ghost Girls. We'll talk about the Lowry House in Huntsville, the historical jail in Jasper, Georgia, the F. Scott and Zelda Fitzgerald Museum in Montgomery, and the Drish House in Tuscaloosa with Leslie Ann Hyde and the Southern Ghost Girls. Let's talk about the historic Lowry House. Now, that's in Huntsville. Now, this was a home during the Underground Railroad people would go to?
Yes.
Kind of a safe house?
I'll tell a little bit about the history, and then I'll let the girls, other girls talk. But yeah, this house was built in the 1840s. And there was a family there that lived there, the Lowrys, and they were actually Union sympathizers, but they were there during the Civil War era. A lady named Ann Lowry was there at the house. She was one of the relatives, and she was actually waiting for her husband to come back from the war. She was actually ambushed. It's a very sad story. The Union Army, which was General Sherman and his troops, came through Huntsville and that area, North Alabama, Tennessee. Their whole brigade pretty much destroyed everything in its path. Pretty ruthless. And Miss Ann, she was actually running outside as the Union soldiers approached her. The story is that she was trying to say, hey, you know, we're not on the Confederate side. We're more sympathizers and this and that. But she had her hands up and they said they shot her just in the chest right there as she was running out and killed her right on the front porch. Miss Ann, we do believe her spirit is there at the Lowry House, but they would actually use the Lowry House as an Underground Railroad site. There is a hidden room upstairs that you cannot tell is there from the outside or from any of the other rooms. And the enslaved people who were trying to find their freedom or escape were actually hidden in that room. And we get a lot of spirits come through. So people have not even known about this house. I mean, it's really sad. And then when we started investigating it, now we've brought all these hundreds of people, if not 1,000 people, you know, to this home that they have learned this history about. And the Dred Scott Act, which had to do with people that were enslaved from getting their freedom, it was first drafted at that house.
Oh.
I mean, it's crazy. And wow. No one knew about it. But it's very active, too. And I'll let Michaela or... if any of you guys want to talk about it, or Kristen, about some of the spirits there.
I like investigating in the Underground Railroad room. I've gotten a lot of good evidence in there. I've gotten another member of our team that couldn't be on the podcast tonight. Her name is Ashley. she and I tag team and investigate that room together. And she was leading a spirit box session where she was asking the questions to the person wearing the headphones and the blindfold and was listening to the radio frequency scan. She was asking the questions, and when the person would say, you know, whatever the answer was, I would turn around and say it to the other people that were sitting out there. We saw some hangers. She and I both, along with the participants in the group, saw hangers that were hanging on a clothesline in the Underground Railroad room fly off the clothesline like somebody had taken them and thrown them across the room.
Wow.
Because they used that as a changing room. And in that same session, the spirit box kept saying, "Afraid man behind door," over and over and over. And there was a gentleman sitting on the other side of the door from the person that was giving the answers. And the person that was giving the answers didn't know that gentleman was sitting there. The spirits were saying that they were afraid of somebody else who was on the tour. They were telling us they didn't want him in the room.
And that makes such sense to me, because the energy that would be in that room and the experiences that happened in that room, these were people who were not trusting of a lot of people and had some horrific experiences. I can't even imagine. And so I could totally see that there would be people that would enter there that would make them extremely uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. And we believe, or I believe, and some of the other people on the team, they believe that the spirits in the Underground Railroad room might possibly be more comfortable with me because I'm of Native American descent. And so we feel that the spirits can pick up when people are similar to them.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense to me. Have you had any experience, Leslie or Kristen, with the ghost of Ann Lowry?
Yes, I have. We actually, oh man, and I mean, this is something that happened about a year ago at an investigation. I mean, we've had very many experiences. I mean, her image has been caught in our pictures. There's a certain window that she has been seen throughout the years. The public has actually seen a woman staring out the upper bedroom window. And they're like, that woman just keeps staring out the window. And construction workers were across the street and they saw it. But I actually, she likes to appear as an apparition or in pictures, her image. And this was about a year ago. We were investigating downstairs in the parlor area. And there's a kitchen in the back room. And one of the girls was leading the investigation with dowsing rods in the parlor. Now, I had gotten up and walked over to the mantel that was in the dining room, and I looked into the kitchen. And I'll be honest, I am not one that, of those people that just see things like apparitions, like just appear. And I have seen shadow people and things like that. But I looked into the kitchen and a woman with her hair up in a bun, just blonde hair, walked across the doorway inside the kitchen.
Oh,
and that I just kind of froze in my tracks because, like I said, I am not one. A lot of people, you know, they have more visual things happen to them and like apparitions. But I looked and I was like, oh, wow, you know, this is real. Okay. There's that has to be in. And I turned slowly. And I'm just blown away. And then I'm walking, and the girl that was doing the investigation in the other room, who had no idea I had just had this experience, she goes, stop right there. There is somebody beside you. I can see it's like a shadow. And like everything, you know, just stopped. And she started taking pictures. She didn't know I had just had that experience. And she took three pictures in a row. And there is like kind of like a yellow mist, like that was right beside me, and that is shadowing my dress where I'm standing there. So I do believe that was Anne Lowry that was there, because she saw it too after I had seen it in the kitchen. She saw it next to me.
That's powerful when both of you see it.
Yeah. So see, that confirmed she didn't have any clue that I had just, mm-hmm. what I had just seen. Because I had literally turned from the mantle, taken maybe 4 steps, and that's when she said, stop, stop. Miss Anne, she communicates with us a lot, and it is a tragic story again. You know, it is imprinted into the house and its history and its energy? You know, is that negative energy imprinted there? I believe so.
And being used with the Underground Railroad, there's two really strong things happening in that house.
Yes, there is. And then there's other, the house was also after, like in the 1900s, 1940s, 50s, 60s, it became like more of a boarding house. They, you know, and there's a lot of people that lived there. There was someone that hanged themselves outside in the tree in the mid 1900s. Just a lot of stuff has happened. That's not all positive at that house, but I mean, some of the things are positive, but there's a lot that goes on there. I can say that.
And I do want to get to a couple more locations while I have the time with you ladies. Because, Michaela, I have the feeling the old jail, the historic old jail in Jasper, Georgia, that would be closer to you. And I'm assuming you've spent a little time there?
Yes. So Jasper, Georgia is actually my hometown. I've been here my whole life. So I've passed this jail tons of times growing up. I actually even did field trips there. I remember in second grade, we took a tour. So to find that the Southern Ghost Girls were there doing tours, I was like, oh, my goodness, you know. I mean, the place was always creepy, but I never thought it was haunted, never went in like that. And to take the tour, and I mean, every single time we are there, we get amazing evidence, and the stories are always consistent. And it's, you know, I tell people, I'm like, how can one person, you know, be doing human pendulum or dowsing rods, and we're asking these questions, and we're getting the same answers, but it's different people asking at different tours? How do we get the same answers? Mm-hmm. So the stories are always consistent. It's really neat.
What kind of stories have you picked up on there?
Let's see. So there's one lady who comes across a lot during Human Pendulum. And she, I guess it was really kind of like the Wild West times. So she was kind of like a saloon girl and slept with someone that was pretty prominent and actually got pregnant. And she jumped off the wood bridge that's not too far away. It's steps from the jail. Into an oncoming train. And we get that story every single time. And we actually have a picture where you can see a figure jumping off the bridge.
Oh.
So it's pretty crazy.
That's powerful.
Mm-hmm. And then we have a bunch of Cherokee that come through, some war soldiers that come through, and of course the inmates and the sheriffs will occasionally come through as well.
I can say that probably one of the most prominent persons that comes through there is who we call the chief. And we believe he is a Cherokee chief, and his family was killed. Now, the site where the jail sits is an interesting spot because it's actually got three different like things going on there. Number one, it was a jail which housed thousands of, you know, people throughout the time that it was operable, from 1900 to 1982. So you've got a lot of negative entities there that they won't hurt you, but it's negative. So we've got a lot of that going on. People have seen what they call the shadow man and things like that. And we think that's more the jailbird people that are there. Then you've got the Cherokee that come through. The Cherokee, this is called the Cherokee Nation, there where the jail is in that part of the country. And it's actually a site of the gathering spot where they would transport the Cherokee to the site for the Trail of Tears before they were made to go across to the West. So there's a lot of just, you know, really strong energy coming through because it's an actual Trail of Tears site. And then you have what is called the Federal Road. The Federal Road is at that exact spot too, where Michaela just spoke of that bridge. And that is a federal road that was built early 1800s that connected Washington, D.C. to New Orleans. I mean, people traveled that. So you had people on that, you know, traveling. So you got these three things that have come together at this one spot. So a lot of activity, lots and lots of activity. And I tell you, from night to night that we investigate there, you never know who you're going to get.
Oh, I bet, because there's so many.
It's a lot. So like Michaela said, we have had the saloon girl. We call her, you know, the lady of the night. You know, we have her come through sometimes. We sometimes have the chief, the Cherokee chief, and he speaks a lot through. He likes me. He likes Kristen. He likes Michaela. And I feel like we're respectful. We ask him to come through. We respect his family, and he comes through a lot on our equipment, answering yes and no questions and dowsing rods, and we've gotten EVPs and just all kind of stuff. The chief is what I kind of resonate with there. He talks through me a lot. So yeah, there's just been lots of experiences.
What about the F. Scott and Zelda Fitzgerald Mansion and Museum in Montgomery? I'm very interested in that. I'm kind of fascinated with the two of them. You know, Zelda had an interesting and tragic, very tragic life at the same time. What kind of presence do you feel there?
Well, and I'll tell you, I mean, when Zelda and Scott were living there during the 1930s, they actually were writing a couple of their novels there, and they were in a very tumultuous period mm-hmm. of their marriage. Zelda actually lived on one side of the house and he lived on the other. And things were not that good. And as you know, later, Zelda was actually sent to an asylum. And did Scott do that? You know, did he put her in the asylum? It's rumored, you know, she did have some mental issues. Probably something that today's time could have been very easily treated with medication. But during the 1920s and 30s and, you know, people didn't know how to treat those things. So she was sent to an asylum and lots and lots and lots of energy that is left there. Zelda is there. I'm telling you, Scott is there. We were doing a REM pod session using a REM pod equipment that's a piece of equipment that puts off electromagnetic field. And if something, a spirit wants to manipulate it, answering your questions, you can ask it to make a sound, make it turn the red light on. We were asking questions, three of us at the dining room table. Zelda was answering the questions perfectly, perfectly. I mean, the REM pod was going off. We would say, make the red light light up three times. If, you know, Scott did this to you. I mean, and it would light up three times. I mean, it was crazy. And then all of a sudden, as we are sitting there, an ottoman that was sitting in the living room area lifts up and moves and sits back down and blocks the door.
No.
Yes. We all, wow. All three of us were just, oh my gosh. I mean, that's probably one of the best, the most craziest things that has happened on one of our investigations. Now, this was a private investigation. We were doing it privately, but we had another experience, and I will let Michaela and Kristen talk. I mean, we've had so many there where we were speaking to Zelda, and I'll let them talk because it had to do with the asylum.
Oh, yeah. So we were all sitting there or sitting and standing and asking questions. And we had, actually the door was opening on its own on command. So we would be like, Zelda, if you're here, can you open this door? And you'd hear it, and it would open. And so that was crazy. And so we're already, you know, we're piped up, we're asking questions. And then it kind of stops for a second. And we're holding a Tempest, which is a device that has, I think, 30,000 words and phrases that they can use environmental readings and manipulate to get words across. Well, we were asking, are you scared of any of us? And it says, yes. And so everybody's going around asking. Benny asked, Leslie asked, Kristen asked. And so I'm like, okay, well, I'll ask. Are you scared of me? And it says, asylum worker on the Tempest. And I have a psychology degree. And I think she picked up on that because we started talking about, you know, are you afraid I'm going to put you in an asylum or I'm going to hurt you? And it would say yes on our other devices. And so we were able to kind of talk to her and say, you know, no, mental health is not like it was in the past. I'm not an asylum worker, even though that's my background. So it was just, it's so active. It's so haunted. And Zelda, she always comes across really strong there.
I was there the night that we were asking the questions. And then we also had the musical coffin box that Michaela mentioned earlier. We had that set up. And Zelda was a dancer. She danced ballet. And we would ask her, Zelda, can you dance for us? And all of a sudden, the music from the coffin box would start playing and it would light up. And we would say, okay, can you stop? And it would stop. And we would say, can you dance for us again? And it would start up. And we had a book sitting by her chair in her room that she wrote. It's called Save Me the Waltz. And so we would ask her to waltz for us. And, you know, the equipment would set off. And she just indicated that she was extremely happy that, you know, we brought some of her things to her.
And I want to say, it takes a lot. I mean, these, you know, in TV shows, you see REM pods going off, you see equipment going off, you see this and that. This just doesn't happen like these shows and things want you to think. I mean, it's pretty, you know, you've got a prominent spirit going on if one of these pieces of equipment is going off and answering you directly on command or the door opening directly on command. You know, that's just incredible, really.
And of all people for asylum worker to come up, an asylum worker of all words, with Michaela. You know, it's just a very strong presence, but it also makes me think that she was very comfortable with you as a group. And maybe that night you were dressed in 1920s flapper gear or something, outfits.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah, we were.
That would be something that she could have really related to and connected with.
She always indicates that she loves our dresses. She absolutely loves them.
Because nobody else does that.
No, they don't. And I mean, that's what, and it's like, honestly, when you go and stay there at the F. Scott Fitzgerald Zelda Museum Mansion, you literally are transported back in time. They don't have TVs there. It's just you. They have a radio. Furniture is period correct. Everything. And of course we were dressed in our 1920s clothes and we look like her. And it is crazy because Michaela has the psychology degree and background, but I was a ballet dancer, and Kristen danced. So, I mean, I feel like she was really relating to us. It's incredible.
And I've got one more place I want to ask you about, the Drish. Am I saying that correctly? Drish House in Tuscaloosa?
Drish.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is old. It was built in 1837, and I was reading about it, and there's reports of hauntings that go back to the early 1900s, so this is a pretty well-known haunted location.
Yes. Yes, and it actually has had many books, most notably 13 Alabama Ghosts and Jeffrey, written about the Drish House and its stories, and people, yes, have seen apparitions and ghosts of Dr. Drish and his family, and people have seen the actual house on fire from the outside, because that's one of the ghostly stories about the historic Drish House, is that there's a tower on the front of it, and people will see it on fire. And over 100 years, they have always called the fire departments and the police to go check this out. And then when they get there, it's not on fire. So the legend is that Dr. Drish, he was buried, and at his funeral, he had these specific candles that Mrs. Drish used. And Mrs. Drish wanted those same candles to be used at her funeral, but when she passed away, they could not find the candles. So you have this this historical ghost story about the lights in the tower. The tower looks like it's on fire, and they think it goes back to the candles. So that's a really known place in Alabama, but not many people have ever gotten to investigate it there. And I actually tried to get in there many times and could not, because the previous owners would not let us investigate there. And I was just like, gosh, I want to do this. And it was purchased by another person, and she has welcomed us with open arms, and she loves us. She loves us coming in doing the investigations. She's let some other teams do it. And I mean, we're doing them now for, you know, fundraising for the house. And so it's a win-win situation there. We love that place. It's significant.
What kind of, Kristen or Michaela, have either of you picked up on anything at the house?
Yeah, I'll actually tell you my personal story there. So I had not been with the Ghost Girls long, and this was my first going out of town investigation with them. And so I had my Victorian dress. I was ready. And Leslie asked me to take some equipment upstairs to the other groups. So it is dark, and I'm, you know, being careful of my dress and going upstairs. I deliver the equipment. And so then I'm going to go down the stairs. So I'm being very careful because I've got this big dress on, holding it, touching every step. I get to this last step before the landing, and I go flying through the air and slammed on my knees. I mean, the people downstairs heard it. Some guy came running out. He's like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "I know I touched that last step. I know I did." And the story is that Dr. Drish actually passed away by getting a little too intoxicated, and he fell down those same stairs. Now, they've been remodeled and changed, but that's how he passed away. So later in the night, we're asking questions with the rods, and I asked, "Did someone push me?" And it said yes. So that, for me, it was my first really jolting experience with the Ghost Girls, and it's just mind-blowing. It's crazy. I know I touched that last stair. I know it.
Well, especially with the dress, and you're trying to be careful, you're very, very aware of going down a flight of stairs when you're dressed like that.
Right. I was hyper aware, and so it was just weird to me. The next thing I knew, I was on the floor.
And to add on to what Michaela said, we actually did a little bit more investigating that night. And Dr. Drish indicated, and Leslie can back me up, and this came through 4 or 5 times with different people asking the questions, so we believe that it's possibly true. He was pushed. He has indicated that he was actually completely sober and was pushed down the stairs the night that he died. Oh. But because he was an alcoholic, everybody just assumed that he was drunk.
And it makes you wonder if whatever pushed Michaela was the same that pushed him, maybe.
Yeah, we didn't get a chance to explore that further. But, you know, that's just one example of investigations potentially changing history. Myself and I think Michaela spent the night, but myself and another member of the team that I mentioned, Ashley, and then another member, Anna, all of us spent the night after an investigation, and we heard footsteps while we were trying to go to sleep, like somebody was coming up the stairs. But when we peeked our heads out, there was nobody there. And these were like heavy footsteps, like a human. And that happened a couple of times. We heard tapping on the glass windows that were in the doors. I will say, I don't get spooked easily. And that kind of spooked me a little bit, because I was in the little living area by myself. The other two were in a room on an air mattress, and I was on the couch by myself. And I was like, "Oh dear, let me just pull the sleeping bag over my head and just pretend I'm not here."
I'd have been scared. Leslie, have you had experiences in the house as well?
I mean, yes, I have. I mean, and like Kristen was saying, I mean, we've done our investigations and we'll use the REM pods and the dowsing rods and doing the tipping table and ask these yes and no questions. And we'll ask the equipment to, you know, light up or whatnot. But we've had, we have a flashlight that we use too, just the regular flashlight. And we were upstairs spending the night and we asked, you know, we were asking if the spirit that was there could turn the light on for us. And it would just immediately turn on. And we would say, can you blink it two times? If Mrs. Drish is here, and it would go on and off twice. And we were just like, you know, blown away because again, in real paranormal investigations, these kind of phenomena, you know, it's not like the TV shows. I mean, you know, how just things just happen, you know. So it does take a lot of energy and communication coming through for these things to really happen. And when it happens, I mean, it's crazy. There is a man that hangs out at that house, a ghost, not an actual human. And when we walk in there, two different girls, especially, when we're in the bathrooms alone or the changing area alone, you will hear a whistle. I have heard the whistle by myself. One of the investigators, Sherry, has heard the whistle by herself. We asked the man to whistle. We caught it on an EVP when we recorded. We heard him whistle.
Well,
it's very strange.
Well, that's kind of what men do. So I don't find that so surprising.
So it's just crazy.
He sees the pretty girls come in and he likes them and has to make himself known. This has been such an interesting conversation. I was really looking forward to talking to you. And this was just so fun. I want to join you guys some night. I would love to take one of your ghost tours with you. I think it would be so much fun.
Well, we would love you to come and join us. And yes, you're welcome to come anytime. And just, you know, I think you would love it. And it is a welcoming environment. I will say that we have people who come from all walks of life and from everywhere they've traveled or they're from the area. And I always tell people at the beginning of the tours, you know, or the investigations, you all don't know each other right now, and they barely are talking to each other. But by the end of the night, y'all all are going to be good friends, because it's just that interaction between people and the interaction in the investigation. And it's just a positive environment that we really strive really hard to make happen at our investigations, events, and tours.
You can pick up on that just by this conversation. I just feel like when I'm talking to you guys, I just want to hang out with you.
Well, come and hang out.
Which I got to do tonight. So this has been great. And Kristen and Michaela, thank you so much for your time tonight. You guys are fantastic.
Aw, thank you for having us.
You guys said that at exactly the same time. It was like on cue. It was a script and you guys read it. And that wraps up our conversation with the Southern Ghost Girls. If you'd like more information about what they do and maybe join them on a ghost tour, visit their website, southernghostgirls.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts and you can try it 3 days free. You can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and find everything there also, all ad free. For all of us here at The Grave Talks, I'm Carol Hughes, and thank you so much for listening.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. If you love great games and a little extra excitement to your day, I got something fun for you. Chumba Casino and I have teamed up to create an exclusive online social casino game. It's called Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's fun and free to play, just like all your favorites from Chumba Casino. And every spin brings 10,000 ways to keep the good times going. Check it out and play for free today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.